The baying from the pit came on like a roar, followed by a huge exhalation of breath, a couple of hundred people sighing. "Someone's down," Little Benny said. Then a large cheer rang out, and the shouting began again. "He got up again," I said as we casually walked towards the kitchens and ducked behind them. The tents were the only things that gave us any cover, and we knew we had to run in their shadows. I had my weapons ready, and Little Benny had a stolen butcher's knife. Merv came up with Stella, and behind them I could see a few people, strolling nonchalantly towards us, as if they were ready to start a new shift in the kitchens.
"Are we going now? Really?"
Merv had a giant meat cleaver in his belt, and was a little bit wild. I smiled at him, pleased that he was going with us. "Sure, Merv. In about 10 minutes we're going to be as free as birds." I winked at him. He was young and scared, but he needed to get rid of that fear. I calculated that we had another 10 or 20 minutes, depending on how many more they intended to fight. But it didn't feel very safe. First, there was an open run from the kitchens to the compound walls. But once there, we were shielded by screens, and the nearest watchtower was new and always empty. But for how much longer? We couldn't wait for any more prisoners. There was no more time. It was over, and we were running. We ran like rats, low and close to the ground. Me and Merv were the quickest sprinters, grabbing the chain-link fence that we had learnt to climb every night, shinning up side by side. Behind me, others came streaking out in perfect concentration. From the top, I could see that the dignitaries were leaving now, all animated, swaggering. Their wives were flushed and flaunting their necks like elegant swans, and you could sense the reek of pheromones off them. The security guards focused around them in a tight knot. There were important big shots in there, after all. I looked over to see some of the other politicos starting to get into their cars. Our time was running out, but we had a little while yet. The prisoners would be sent back to their tents, and no one would notice we were gone until lunch. I wasn't sure that there was enough time for us to make it, although we could get everybody out. We didn't have time to get them far enough away. I realized that I made a very stupid mistake and I should have gone sooner, but it didn't help that some of them were so slow. I started reaching down for people and dragging them up and over the fence. Little Benny was already down there, telling us to get down. The prisoners ran in all directions, some sticking together, some racing off alone. I tried to send Merv down, but he wouldn't go, kept on hauling men and women up, faster and faster, as if he were dropping cats into a basket. Others were coming on now, friends of friends, those I didn't know, without knives or weapons and only fear in their eyes. The last doors of the cavalcade were closing. I could see the engine lights blink on the hydro cars before they silently moved off into the desert, tires crunching on the glassy red sand. The security guards were all focused on the other side of the pit. But then our luck broke and shattered into 1,000 pieces. Bad luck that went by the name of Lundgren. He appeared around the edge of the screen, and a familiar shadow lingered behind him. I saw the snitch pointing up at me. I watched pure hatred flooding Lundgren's face. Before he had time to think, I tried to push Merv down to Stella and Little Benny. And then Lundgren began to run towards us. I tried again, nearly pushing Merv straight over, but he shook me off and looked over my shoulder, mouth widening in shock. Instinctively, I looked backwards, falling for the oldest trick in the book, as Merv tipped me up and knocked me off balance, sliding down towards Little Benny. I had to give it to the kid. I didn't think he had it in him to pull something like that.